Blog Talk Radio. I would try to mimic that last note, but I'm not in the mode or mood to break any of the tinkering glasses around me. Just kidding, I couldn't hit that note if I wanted to, truly. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you're at the right place at the right time. Thank you for taking the time out to tune in again to Progressive News Weekly, where week in and week out we bring you news and information from around the world. And so with that said, how about that opening bumper tune, Keep Your Head to the Sky? One of my all-time favorites, I must admit, by the iconic Earth, Wind, and Fire. In fact, such an iconic tune. I'm just going to play just a couple verses of that one more time. Bear with me while we do that. As I said, such an iconic tune. I just had to just play a little bit more of that one. Again, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. And for those who are just tuning in, you've been listening to, as our opening bumper tune for this evening, the iconic Earth, Wind, and Fire. One of my favorites, as I said, the lyrics so apropos as we try to, well, link our opening bumper to the program itself. Keep Your Head to the Sky, of course, written by the great late Maurice White, the founder, leader of the group. I believe that would have taken us back to 70, and I'd have to do my research on that. 69 or 70 for that particular cut. But the lyrics, Master told me one day I'd find peace in every way. But in search for the clue, wrong things I was bound to do. Keep my head to the sky for the clouds to tell me why. As I grew with strength, Master kept me as I repent. Keep your head to the sky. I can go on and on. Look the lyrics up. Beautiful song. And with that said, there's so many beautiful songs out there. We don't hear enough of them in these days and time, which is another album by the great Earth, Wind, and Fire, which you will want to get if you can, Last Days and Time. I believe it was their first album. But enough of the music industry jargon, so to speak. We'll be bringing more programs up in the future about the state of the music industry in our culture and around the world. It leaves something to be desired with at least what's being played on the airwaves. And I would dare say by no coincidence, too much degrading. And of course, there's always been degrading music going through the annals of time. It's the prevalence, I think, that's making a difference in our society today. Just a bit too much perversion and negativity there within, which I believe personally leads a lot to a lot of the things and the mindsets and the energy that has prevailed to a significant degree. So that's where we come in, listeners, as change agents, right, to bring that consciousness to the fore and make a difference. And so, again, we'll be doing more on music and its influence on our society in the weeks ahead. So with that said, again, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark. You're at the right place at the right time where we bring you that news and information that's, well, it's really intended to encourage you and enlighten you and inspire you and empower you and hopefully instill you to get involved and make a difference. No talking heads here. This is about action, A-C-T-I-O-N, and doing something with that which we have a discourse on. And so with that said, this evening, talk about a discourse. One of my favorite opportunities is this upcoming guest. And if you're not on the mail list, get on the mail list. Just send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore CLA18 at MSN.com. Get on my mail list, drop me an email, and you'll know in advance who our guest for that particular week is, because most weeks, we do have a guest that is specializing in whatever the topic is or the subject matter, or they have some enlightenment to bring those things that I mentioned to you just a moment ago, the inspiration and the enlightenment and the empowerment and so forth to you. And tonight is no exception. And so, as I said, I'm pleasantly pleased to have this particular guest on, because he's someone that's near and dear to me, special to me. He's a friend, and he's a mentor, and he's a confidant, and someone I highly respect and who is highly respected around the world. I'm purposely not mentioning his name, because if you're not on the mail list, then you're wondering who this is. So get on the mail list, folks, and not only use it for getting a preview of what the upcoming program is for the upcoming week, but also I'd like to get your opinions and your input for upcoming programs. Much of our news comes from you or topics or guests, the listeners. And so with that said, that's why we say this is news for you, by you, and of you. So I'd like to get your feedback on what you're thinking about past programs and what your thoughts are about future programs. So with that said, without further ado, I'm speaking of our special guest, Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And Dr. Mendoza, affectionately and respectfully around the world referred to as Master Glenn, well, his accolades and his bio speaks for him in and of itself. Master Glenn is a, first of all, he's an MD and a well-respected MD at that. His background in medicine, well, he developed the neonatal intensive care unit at Good Samaritan Hospital in Suffern, New York, and he served as the director of neonatology for over 21 years. So I can go on and on about his medical career. He's also a pranic healer, and we'll talk a little bit about pranic healing for those who are new to the program, and I'm so pleased to say every week we have new listeners, and please share Progressive News Weekly because there's strength in numbers, and as we grow, we can share the good news, as I was mentioning earlier about the not-so-good news that is too much prevailing in our society. So share this. Tell someone about the good news. If you're truly enjoying it, it's like love. It's something you can give away and yet retain and receive the benefits thereof. So please share Progressive News Weekly. We're here on Thursday evenings, typically at about 6:30 or 6:40 in the evening, and we go for about an hour, and sometimes we go a little longer, depending on the dialogue and discourse and interaction with you, the listener. But back to Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn. He is world-renowned. He's one of only, in fact, a handful, or maybe two handfuls, of pranic healers in the world. And he is well-respected for his acumen overall and approach to health and wellness. In fact, he's been on 60 Minutes. He's been on most and many, many radio programs around the world. And his following is international, truly. He has studied astrology in depth and is considered a specialist therein, and also in meditation, which, as I'm sure most listeners now have to acknowledge, is respected not just in specialist circles, but in more formal circles as well, such as your major institutions now acknowledging the benefits of meditation. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. And in terms of astrology and what they call moon sign or sun signs, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, we are currently under the sun sign of Aries. So do we have any Aries out there? Give us a shout out. With that said, speaking of shout out, I'm always encouraging you, the listener, to participate, and it just generates good energy. So if you'd like to do so, you'll dial 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Majority of you have probably dialed that to get into the station and to listen in currently, but many folks go in through their computers, which is blogtalkradio.com /Renford, and you can get into the program that way. So for those listeners, you'll want to dial that number and press 1 on your dial. So either way, dial that number, press 1, and myself or our engineer, Mr. Cecil, my engineer of over a decade now and partner who does our production, will pick you up in the background and give you an opportunity to express what your question or comment is on this discourse, and we'll keep it live and keep it moving. So please do consider commenting what you will with regard to this conversation. This evening, as I said, we're going to have a bit of a discourse about healing and energy growth as we enter into the spring and we enter into one season, as we leave another season. There's much to be said in that transition, and I'm sure Dr. Mendoza will have some things to say about that and Master Glenn, and you'll hear me use the term interchangeably. Master Glenn, having done much research in astrology, will also speak to, he'll speak to the astrological sign of Aries and what some of the attributes and characteristics of that is, of the Aries sign is. And he'll link that to the full moon, which we're approaching in the next few days, and the energies thereof. So sit back and put on your virtual seatbelt, because you're about to go for a ride, unlike you have before on Progressive News, because every week and every opportunity that Master Glenn is able to come on board, it's always, as I'm told by the listeners, and please give me your feedback afterwards, always a thrill. So now, that's a mouthful, and without, again, I'll say it last time, further ado, I'm bringing to the airwaves the one and only Dr. Master Glenn Mendoza. Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn, you there?
Yes, Daryl, how are you? Thanks for the invitation again.
I am so well, and it's always a pleasure, like I said, to have you here, and you're taking the time out, and your time is in such demand, and yet you bless our airwaves to take the time out to be with us again, and so we thank you so much. I know our listeners are beginning to appreciate the true opportunity that they're having to have you join us as one of the few pranic healers in the world. And also the remarkable mind, and not just to patronize you, but truly, Master Glenn, I've learned so much over the many, many years that I've been blessed to be in your presence, and of course to even take courses with you, and you've truly been a guide and a mentor, and I truly appreciate that. So with that said, there's so much I want to get into. I know we're not going to be able to get into everything because of limited time, but can we touch upon some of the things I was mentioning? Such as first and foremost, because I know the pranic healing piece is one of the things that there are a few listeners, and I know we have new listeners, because every week I run into people wherever I'm out and about, and I talk to them about Progressive News Weekly and what we do here in terms of talk radio and bringing, you know, pertinent real news to the airwaves. And so there may be those, and I know most probably have heard you many times, because whenever you're on, the listenership just jumps, and it has again. But will you share again at a high level this aspect of pranic healing before we get into some of the other things like the meditation and the astrology and the full moon? And, of course, I want to talk a little bit about the book. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
You have the mic. Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to add something about you talked about the music. And it came to my mind, like, when words fail, music actually is the one that puts life into everything. If our words cannot express what we need to express, music is a platform wherein it just comes in and express every aspect of what we want to show and feel and tell the world. Anyway, your question.
So it's more than entertaining. It's actually a form of communication.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Yes. Actually, my father-in-law is one of the prolific Filipino composer in the Philippines. Worked with mm-hmm. six presidents, and with knowing my wife, I grew up in a family of musicians. All of them play the. Any instrument, and one of my brother-in-laws could give him an instrument, he could play it. Give him a Java gamelan or something like that, he will play it. Give me an instrument, he could play it right there without even doing anything. That's how good he was. And my mother-in-law, and one of my brother-in-laws also, you play something. Say you're singing something you knew from when you were young, and actually they could play it on the piano. They could guide you without knowing the song. That's how good they were.
Wow.
Anyway,
right off the top.
To me, I don't even can do that. But they were able to do that, and they could change the key. Anyway, they're just fantastic. But anyway, going back to your question about pranic healing, in short, for your listeners, pranic healing is an energy healing using prana, or what we call in Chinese qi, or life force. You use this energy to do healing. You could do simple, because it boils down to the principle that sometimes disease or unhealthy condition means that energy is not flowing. So that means there's an obstruction of energy. And what happened, pranic healing using life force by energizing or sweeping a certain area, organ, or part of the body will facilitate the flow of energy. So it's within us. It's this chi and this life force is within us, but a energy healer, a pranic healer, can accelerate the process by giving fresh energy from outside. You know, sometimes...
Can I...
Yes. Go ahead.
No, you can go with your thought. I have a question after you're finished your thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned, and some of the questions I may have, I may understand because, you know, I have studied with you, but I have to, for the sake of our listeners, ask some questions that some of your dialogue may lead to that our listeners may be too shy or too short at the dial to get their question in. And so the question is, you mentioned that pranic healing uses chi or life energy to help to eliminate or to address dis-ease. And I love the way you said that, dis-ease as opposed to disease, with the hyphen in between. And that is a means of utilizing by means of sweeping or removing or reducing a block of energy. So are you saying that whenever there is, or often if there is a dis-ease, or I even use the term imbalance in the body, that it is a reflection of energy?
Yes.
Or lack thereof?
Yes,
if you get a paper cut, or if you accidentally you're cooking and you slice your finger or your wrist or your hand or something, that cut is an energy issue as opposed to just blood, you know, and you cut a vein and a physical thing.
Actually, let's talk about what you're saying. You had a paper cut, or a paper cut is a good example. So there's blood coming out. We have a physical body, but we also have an energy body, like a blueprint. And what happened was that as you are leaking blood, you're also leaking energy in the physical body, in the energy body. So what happened was that the key is to stop that leak. Because what happened was that the leak of blood and leak of energy is not good. So another way of looking at it is a burn. You're cooking and you got burn, a mild burn. You will realize was that there is a redness in the body, in the physical body first, redness, but in the energy body there's also a redness also, which is brewing. And what happened was that if you don't take care of this redness or this burn, it could come to a bleb. You know, just a different sequence. If it gets severe, it becomes a bleb. That means it's red first, then it becomes a bleb. With pranic healing, by healing the energy body right away, we found out in most cases, if applied early, there's no more, the bleb is usually does not happen. So that's one good thing to do. Let's talk another, move it up a little bit. Say, for example, you have a sprain. A person with a sprain, that means energy is not moving because of muscle sprain or a strain, so energy is not moving. So applying pranic healing to remove the obstruction using this chi or prana in Sanskrit actually will facilitate the flow of energy and actual healing. So you could do that in any parts of the body, any organ. You could do it in sprain. You could do it in headache. The headache means that there is obstructing energy that is not flowing. It could be a blood flow. It could be stress energy. Then facilitating the flow of energy will remove the headache. That is a simple thing on physical level. How about emotional level? Emotional level, people who are stressed, that means stress energy or negative energy or negative emotions are brewing up and it's not moving. So people will take in the stress, and what pranic healing does was that there are certain points in our body or energy centers where stress are usually accumulate. Like example, when you're scared or a person who is in fear, usually we call it there's a pit in your stomach. So basically in the solar plexus is an area wherein people have stress. And by sweeping an energy, no-touch energy healing will actually facilitate the flow and remove the stress energy. So those are the things that were in pranic. It's within us. The energy is within us. But I would like to tell your listeners, the first important thing, people do not believe pranic healing because it's something that they cannot see, something that they could not comprehend because they could not see it. But I would like to, a good example is actually the concept of energy, that we have an energy body. Okay, so just a game, just an experiment. Those who are listening, just raise your left hand, whether you're driving or not, or you'd still be okay, but just be careful. Just raise your left hand. Okay, so you could flex it a little bit so you could feel the physical body. But I want you to be aware about 5 inches away from the hand. Are you aware of that?
I am.
Yes, that is actually awareness of the concept of energy. When I was in Ecuador, I have about 300 doctors. I was teaching them about the concept of energy. You have to understand, we are doctors. You have to explain to me what you can see, what's the biological thing that's happening, what's the physiological thing that's happening. But I was able to have them understand the concept of energy. Once you feel that there's a concept of energy within us, that energy interspersed between the physical and the energy body, then understanding disease states probably will be easier for those who are too mental. But by and large, in a nutshell, pranic healing is one of the fastest growing complementary energy therapy in the whole world. I say that in all honesty because in each almost a major city, we have pranic healers doing one or two workshops in major cities all over the world, at least two or three. In India alone, they have almost probably in New Delhi, we were there a couple of weeks ago, they will probably have one or two or three workshops simultaneously every week. So it's a growing field. I think in the future, I would tend to believe that medicine will recognize that there is such thing as energy medicine, and combining the technology that we know, which I do use as a medical doctor, and tending the energy aspect will just make the doctor more or less a objective and full in understanding the disease states, not only the physiological, but the energy aspect. That is, in a nutshell, what pranic healing is. We offer it in different places. We have workshops in different places, even here on the East Coast or all in the United States. Just go to pranichealingusa.com, pranic healing, P-R-A-N-I-C, healing, healingusa.com. So I hope that will, this is a good intro into the world of energy, because everything is energy and energy is everything in our relationships. If energy is flowing, there's communication, there's understanding, there's patience, there's harmony. If countries are, there is energy is flowing, countries will be talking to others, that there'll be diplomacy, there'll be progress, there'll be communications. So by and large, everything, the energy is underlying everything. And contrary, if there is disease, energy is not flowing. If there's argument, energy is not flowing. If there's war, energy is not flowing. So you could actually conversely understand the negative and the positive aspect of use of energetic solutions in our society and in ourselves.
Wow, that's interesting. So this isn't about bad energy or good energy. It's just about, it's just about energy. Like you say, you know, if you have a relationship and the relationship isn't as good as it could be, or if you have any type of a in illness, the energy is not flowing. It's, you're saying it's not about negative energy. It's just about the energy not flowing. There is that to say there is only one kind of energy, and that is or does that not apply in what we're talking about?
Yeah, when you say energy, energy is not a kind of energy. It's just energy is not energy is flowing or not flowing. Energy is a good example. Anybody, if there is any competition, whether it's an election, whether it's a football game, a boxing, basketball, whatever sports you have, whoever has the most energy will win all the time. All the time. Just when you think the person is underdog, but that person will have enough energy to actually beat the other person. Always the person with the most energy always wins.
So it's not about having good energy or bad energy. It's just having energy.
I preferably you want to have good energy. I don't think energy, whether you have more energy, I don't think you could beat a good even though you a person who's very very negative and would like to destroy, maybe they can do it at one time, but there is such thing wherein good always triumphs over evil. So good energy will always triumph over negative energy all the time too.
Good energy will always triumph over bad energy. And because it makes me think, and I'll try not to take us off on too much of a tangent. Listeners, don't forget, you can press 1 on your dial at any time and join in on this discourse. And I'd like to hear your opinions on this word I'm about to touch into, 347-838-9142. And so you're saying that it appears sometimes good things happen to bad people. I mean, they get away with things, it appears. And maybe this is a great segue as we, you know, get into some aspects of the book. But I know there are several, you know, chapters on karma and some other things like that, knowing thyself. But what do you think about that? Good things happening to bad people or bad things happening
to
good people? Is that energy or what is your opinion on that?
Okay, let's talk about bad things happen to good people, because that's what we don't want. We're doing a good thing, then somehow some things happen to us, either physical or health emotional relationships or financial or even some mental stress. Okay, let's say bad things happen to good people. If you look at it, why did bad things happen to good person who's just been doing a good thing all the time, and all of a sudden, how come a negative energy comes, incident will happen to the person? Okay, let me ask the question. Each one of us at one point in our lives actually faced a negative energy that at one point in time was just too much for us. It was just too much. We could not, to a point that we could not, probably in our mind then, could not overcome it. Yes or no? Think of a time wherein it, you yes?
Okay. Yeah, I can think of, and usually it was related to not just a circumstance, in many cases of just something happens, you have an accident
work,
and you hurt yourself.
Yes.
But often it's related to someone else involved.
Yes, okay, think about it.
Who is a bad energy.
Somebody is the one who's probably triggering off something, gave us a difficult time. Let's put it in more specific. Think of a person who gave you a difficult time, difficult time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize, looking back now, person actually made, if you look back, the person that gave us a difficult time was actually an instrument to make us a better person. Yes or no?
Well, if we made it through it, which, you know, I'm here to talk about it, I'll speak. And I see we have a listener that wants to comment, but I'll get mine in first. I would say if you make it through it, it made you stronger because you survived it.
Yeah, because what happened was that if you're having a difficult time now, it's very difficult to say if this person is a lesson or not. We could only connect the dots as we look back. That's why I'm asking for something that had happened in the past. Because in the past, we know exactly, all of us, more often than not, that person that has given us a difficult time, in essence, were lessons for us, weights for us, but somehow it became better. Some people, they said, oh, you are so dumb, you're not going to make it. All of a sudden, it was too much for us. We excelled in that area. Oh, you're never going to be a doctor. That sometimes some people said, you're not going to be a lawyer. You cannot even speak in front of people. Then all of a sudden, that's just too much for a person. It made them better than ever. You understand? So you if you look back in a person who is giving you a difficult time, actually we should be grateful for that person, because that person actually has given us a lesson or weights to become better. It's another perspective of looking at things, but it's also energy. That energy was given to us because we need to have lessons. Relationships, if we have to look at it, we have relationships. Somehow they matured. If they become positive, that's good. Some negative relationships are actually made us to become better in some form. Experience pain later on makes us better. You know, some people, in essence, with the negative energies, they are basically move themselves forward. But I guess what I'm trying to point out was that energy, whoever has a lot of energy will always succeed. A person who has a lot of energy will actually be successful. Successful people have good energy. Not successful people do not have a lot of energy. So if you look at some things in life on a positive and a negative, if you have to look at it, a person will always have, who succeed will have positive energy. People who have negative energies may succeed. I'm telling you, they may succeed. At one point in time, we were asked, how about people in the mob or gang? They seem to have a lot of money. They seem to be successful. There'll always be a saturation point. When that saturation point hits a thing, everything will fall. That's just the way things are. So what happened was that, if talking about energy, if our body is full of energy, we will be healthy. People who are healthy usually have energy flowing in their body. Make sense?
That makes sense.
A country like the United States, we have a lot of resources, a lot of infrastructure. Look, we are the strongest country in the whole world, the most powerful country in the whole world. So that basically points to energy. And you could put the opposite that. There are some people, they're the negative political structure, the negative infrastructure, or graft, corruption, whatever it is, war. Look at their countries. They are just not successful and just having difficult times. Look at yourself. It's in Afghanistan or Iraq and the Middle East area in Syria. We just spoke to a person from Syria. They said the population of Syria was 25 million before the war. It's down to 10 million. It's down to 10 million of refugees. They're all over the world. They just left. The intelligentsia left. The intelligent people left. So what's left there is just a 10 million of very weak infrastructure. We're not, you see, we're talking about, when we talk energy, you could talk about energy on any aspect. But we try to do energy on healing on the physical body, emotional body, and mental body. So it's easy. It's a bridge to other things. We use energy to manifest our dreams. You know, but this is a good example for your listeners. A success, a dream, or a project will only materialize if there's enough energy. So what happened was that there's an energy process of doing that. Fine, we talk about the law of attraction. You could attract it, but apparently if you put more energy, the chances of being successful will be even better. So that's just part of that. Another thing is energy is you could look at it from a point of view of a house in a certain way, directional, or projects. So what happens is that directional, the house itself, they have what we call feng shui, directional energies. So energy flows in a certain direction. So we have workshops to show all of that, how your house, how your work, how your things that you need to do, particularly the house, will probably give an auspicious flow of energy. It's like walking with an escalator going up rather than walking against the escalator. Or what's that, the tailspin? Or when you're walking on a plane, you're pushed by a certain flow of energy, so it makes you reach earlier in your destination because of the wind effect on the tail. Well, if there's a resistance of energy, it's slower. That's why when you go to the West Coast, it's a little longer rather than going to the East Coast because of that kind of energy. So energy could be applied everywhere.
Whoa. That's enlightening. That's enlightening, and certainly appreciate the way that you addressed that whole aspect of the types of energy. You know, good versus bad, but really at the end of the day, it's about just pure energy. So someone could take energy and use it for bad.
Yes.
Is that what I've heard? Not necessarily make it bad energy, but a person can take energy and use it for bad. But good energy will always prevail.
Yes, we always feel that once you're taught this kind of teaching, there you some people could somehow in some form could use it in a negative way. So they are told that there is such thing as it's called karma. It's called karma, or it's called spiritual divine justice. You use it for something else, it will there'll be a payback. So use it for goodness, it will always improve your life. So that's as easy as that. So we teach the so anybody that could use it negatively, of course there is negative energy is neutral. It could be used positively, it could be used negatively. Might suggest it use it positively so life will be flowing, life will always be good. And we've seen people also use energy in a negative way, how to manipulate people. We've seen people how to use it maliciously, people how to use it negatively. So once the intention is there negatively, the effect will be negative, but there is a repercussion of everyone that's doing that. We've seen it. We've seen it with some of the news that we're seeing now. People who've used power negatively will have somehow have done it well for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. At 60 years, it has come off. You have to pay for it. But it will come back. It will haunt you. So my suggestion for people is that, hey, given a choice, use the positive ways. Your life will always be good. You will not go wrong. You will not go wrong. Sometimes it's very tempting, but you won't go wrong. At any point in time, you won't go wrong. That is an ancient teaching from all spiritual teachers, all great teachers will always say that. The good always prevails and you won't go wrong.
That's beautiful. Well, speaking of direction, can we segue into the energy, the aspect of how meditation is playing such a vital role and a crucial role and a much more important role in the lives of many people as people become more aware of the concept of meditation. And with that said, there are different times when meditation is more effective than others. And I'm mentioning that because we're approaching a full moon in the next few days, if I'm not mistaken. So can you touch at a high level on that concept?
Actually, it's interesting. You said about the meditation. Actually, successful people, most of the successful people you know right now, think of the billionaires, think of the successful people, a majority of them are meditating. When years ago, look at it. I'm just telling you, Elon Musk, they're meditating. Steve Jobs, they're meditating. Almost of the successful people that we know right now, they put some time in meditating. They put some time in their mental activity, but by and large, there's a common thread when they actually meditate. What is meditation? Meditation is actually going in. One person described it, I remember, it's like if you're stressed out, you're looking at a washing machine, you're inside. You're inside the washing machine. That's how stressful it can be. But once you do meditate, it's like you're outside the washing machine, looking outside, looking, see what's happening in your life. So years ago, meditation looks like it's very Eastern, even for myself. Think about it. 20, 30 years ago, we were thinking that when you meditate, it's like a Buddhist monk that we're thinking of. Now, in this modern age, almost 50 million Americans are actually meditating. So what happened, what does that mean? That means we want to go within. When we go within, that means we meditate. We wanted to go into the energy aspect, to the subtlety of what is happening. Right now, we know how stressful our work is. Physical work, emotional work, and mental work. And meditation is like putting a hold on it, at the same time watching what is happening. It's interesting. Sometimes when you meditate, actually you could actually slow down your breath. You could slow down your, actually there's no time. There are once a person who regularly meditates, a 20 minute will a 10-minute meditation will feel like 20 or 30 minutes. So that's somehow going within and relaxing everything. So we could actually to fulfill different purposes of meditation. One purpose of meditation is to relax. So if you want to relax, you could meditate. If you want to feel stress-free, meditate. If you want to find inner peace. And if you don't know inner peace, say, I want to know inner peace. You could do that by meditating. In a short time, you'll feel inner peace. If you want to identify, you experience inner stillness, you could meditate. You could find connection with the divine or some visions or other ways of doing it. The one spring is that going closer to God. So some people will meditate because they want to have closeness to the divine, closeness to their soul, closeness to their teacher, and closer to God. So you could do it as for relaxation, a big spectrum from the simple to the mundane. Meditation can do that. And the only thing, a couple of things I would advise for meditation. Number one, there are meditation now where you could meditate for 2 minutes. I don't think meditation 2-3 minutes. It's just relaxation. That's okay. But if you want to go deeper into meditation, it should be at least over 12 minutes or 15 minutes, and it has to be regular. And some people, because they're so mental, like a lot of us are, we have a busy mind. We have what we call a monkey in chattering monkey in our brain. You're meditating. Instead of meditating, you're thinking of what am I going to watch? I'm missing the America Got Talent. I'm just joking. I'm going to miss the news. What am I going to do? What time am I going to wake up tomorrow? This person, so instead of meditating, you're actually magnifying on some of the thoughts that are coming to your mind. So by the time you finish, you said, oh, wow, my meditation is finished. So by and large, meditation is something that you go within. And going to, talking what you're talking, what Daryl was asking me about, there is every time, every month, there's a meditation that we always discuss, which is the full moon. Actually, we're still in Pisces until March 18 or 19, and we become Aries after that. So we're still right now at March 14. We're still in the Pisces, which is the last of the 12 sun signs. Aries, we discussed last month, are basically compassionate, sensitive, intuitive people. But the coming one is the interesting is the Aries. The Aries, which will be on March 19, the Aries people are very energetic. They're very energetic. In fact, I tell the Arabs, if you want to start a fire, you need a spark. The spark is the Aries. They always want to start things. They are expert in starting things, every project. So if you want to start a project, it's the Aries who you'd like to. I think all the people who are Aries probably could understand that. You know, doesn't mean that they could finish it, but by and large, they could start a project all the time. They have that energy. They are courageous. They're courageous. They want to travel. They're adventurous. They always want to move. They always want to move. They're so energetic also at the same time. So these are the qualities of the Aries. So that's why it starts with an Aries. You know, if you have an Aries, they're always energetic. They will do it. They will be the first one to help you in a project, first people that will want to move things forward. Any project, any event, any work, the Aries is good at that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that we're still currently actually in the sun sign of Pisces, and Pisces, as we in that sun sign, is one of a significant different characteristic, such as a more laid back or peaceful. Is that what
yes.
I understood?
They're emotional by and large. Mm-hmm. Pisces, we were in the Piscean age. Pisces is actually the fish. That's why Pisces, the Lord Jesus says, we are the fishers of men. So actually, those are the Pisces has been involved with that. So we are now presently going into the Aquarian age. After Pisces, you go backwards. You go into the Aquarian age now. So Pisces is basically the fish. Pisces, remember the Lord Jesus has looked like a. By and large, is in the Piscean age, that more or less emotion, more of the love aspect, more of the loving aspect, while Aquarian age is more of the mental aspect. Aries is a physical, courageous. Really, Aries are very, very energetic people.
That was very helpful. I just wanted a little bit of that clarification, because we are actually technically, from what you've said, in the sign of Pisces, about to enter into the sign of Aries. And you said Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and I guess that has specific significance just from that aspect of it as well. We're going into spring. Is that a coincidence that as we go into the spring, we enter into the first astrological sign, or is that a coincidence?
I don't think so. I think there are more to it than that. These are actually astrological, astronomical alignments and all that. So they are actually there is a dictum wherein as above, so below. So the energy from above in the stars are actually influencing us also here. So this is what they call the understanding of astrological stuff. Although it's been happening for a long period of time, astrology, if you have to look at it, they still feel it's a pseudoscience. They think it's a pseudoscience. A pseudoscience. It's not proven.
Oh, pseudo.
pseudoscience. So although it's been happening for a long time, yeah, people get to know that, but somehow some people on the scientific realm will probably question it because no, for them, it's probably conjecture, but it's really, to me, it's been effectively happening each and every one of our lives. I think for those who are listening, It's like you, you're a cancer, you realize that I have the qualities of cancer. These are basically it. Even studying astrology is actually more in detail now. A lot of people are actively studying it now than ever.
Can I just ask a couple questions about the symbol
Sure.
and the element? Because the symbol is the ram, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the element, oh boy, I used to know the element.
It's fire.
It's fire, yeah.
Fire.
It was a, so it's a fire sign,
so
similar
we have,
to Scorpio
yeah.
and I can't remember.
Scorpio is, yeah, yeah. Cancer is what?
Water.
Water, okay.
Yeah,
so
I know
Pisces
mine.
Is water. Pisces is water. There are three fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. There are three air signs. So there are the we have an element. It's interestingly, there's an element, and there's also even that are prone to the certain sign, like the Pisces is the foot, actually. So there are different ways of looking into the astrology. Colors are different also, but by and large, the qualities are basically same. Like Aries is always energetic. People who, you know, Aries are by and large have energy and they could start anything. They could initiate anything. That's their sign. They're adventurous. They want to try something new all the time. So that's a good sign also. And the full moon for Aries is actually on March 19.
So it's coming up next Tuesday, March 19.
Yes. So that's
now what you've taught as in the past is that for a full moon under a given sun sign, those energies born under that sign or not.
It's actually like in the Aries, say for example, like this month, because the alignment of the planets, the alignment of the stars are actually optimal. And so what happened, the energy of Aries is very, very intense. So during the full moon is an auspicious time to gather this actually Aryan or qualities of Aries. And for people who are Aries, the positive qualities will be magnified. But for us, for some people, some things, but it's not natural for us. So it would be nice if we could even be an initiator of other projects. So that is Aries activity. Energy is what we need. Adventure, courage. These are actually keys of Aries. Versatility. They could do different things at the same time also. So I think those are, for you and me, for a Sagittarius and a Cancer, those are qualities that we would like to incorporate in our...
Very good. Can you share with us a little about your service that you've done with the full moon meditation over the decades?
Actually, it's interesting you said that. Since 1994, we've been doing the full moon almost every month as a public service. This is our public service because the key is that you give people, you share this energy. And we've been doing that since 1994. Imagine the evolution. We were just doing a small groups in New York, in New Jersey. Now it's you'll see it even in Zoom. Everybody's doing it in different parts of the world using the technology now. We have Zoom conference. We have live stream. We're using the technology. That means we could have as many as 500 to 700 people meditating at the same time in the entire world. So they're connecting now. The world is small. So people are connecting in different parts of the world from South America, from Korea, Middle East, Asia, Europe, and all over the United States. So we do that at 7:30 on March 19. Because of our talks with Daryl, with your program, we did a website so it's easy for people to understand what's the full moon. So the website is www.fullmoonmeditation.us. So fullmoonmeditation.us. So it'll give you an idea. We're upgrading it almost every other month, so we could have more information on understanding about astrology.
So that's www.fullmoonmeditation.us.
Yeah, F-U-L-L. Yeah, meditation.us, yes.
And I have noticed it's easier, not that when you had it set up where you went through your main website, Pranic Healing USA,
yeah,
it was just a little more difficult to get to the full moon meditation or meditation information. So to our listeners, if you'd like to participate in guided meditation with a world-renowned meditation expert, then you, on the 19th at 7:30, yeah, that's next Tuesday, you'll want to go to, as you just heard, you'll want to go to www.fullmoonmeditation.us, and it walks you right into the link that will bridge you in with, as he said, hundreds of individuals all meditating and learning how to meditate, and also you always have some discourse of information that I've seen that you share over the years as well, which is just a bit of extra. It's on one topic or another that you share, I've noticed, each month as well. So I encourage all the listeners to look into that, even if you're one to not understand the whole concept of meditation and even have some questions about meditation. I think that you'll find it enlightening to check that out. Before we move on and take a couple of words about how the book is going with Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, the number is 347-838-9142. We did have a listener that the call dropped. We were trying to get them in. So you can, if you can't get back in and you're listening to me now in the archives, which is interesting, I may be talking into the future, then drop me an email and I'll make sure whatever question you had, I'll get it to Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn. And, of course, you'll send me an email to either progressivenews@msn.com or Daryl, Daryl, _CLA18@msn.com. Or you can go directly to the Pranic Healing website, and I'm sure you can get a question in to Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn, at Pranic, P-R-A-N-I-C, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, USA.com, and I'm sure get your question answered. And so as we approach the top of the hour, and you've been so gracious, as you often are, and as you always are, actually, so I'm going to see if I can get a quick question about the book. Your previous book, Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be, is available on Amazon.com. I've gone through the book a few times. I always pick up something different and enlightening. But the book is Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act. And it's just a plethora of good information, as the title depicts, to be a better person and being the best you can be. And some of the chapter titles are Know Thyself, all about karma, the power of thoughts, virtue of gratitude, pursuit of happiness. And there's a whole section on meditation. It's an excellent read. What I'd like to do, and I've mentioned this before, if we can do sort of a book review, I would love to do that, and perhaps with the listeners, giving them an opportunity to obtain the book or get information about the book on the web, can then have more pertinent questions and dialogue with regard to the book itself. And you have another book you're working on, Dr. Mendoza?
Yes, actually it's in the publisher's hand right now. It's called Spiritual Truths. It's like going to different level of spiritual truths from on different actually religion. I'd like to be I have a chapter in it, like the story of my God. So how each religion, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism look at God. So that's what I call the story of my God. So it's a different understanding of different levels of truth, the concept of the soul, the concept of a teacher guiding you into the path, and also the different ways of feeling, different meditational experiences, that kind of thing. So hopefully, once the it's been with the publisher right now, so we're actually making it, expediting it. So hopefully it will come out. It was supposed to come out last year, but somehow it got delayed.
You know, if we can just reflect back on your most recent book that you've written, The Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can
Yes.
Be, Nine Things to Think and Act. You mentioned the soul, and that's one I've struggled with over the years, to be quite honest about it. That whole concept of, you know, what is the soul? So how about a nugget of a treat for myself and the listeners, if you can share a little bit about that. And for folks, that Better Person Mindset book, not just trying
yes.
to promote a book, it's not what
yes.
I'm about, but I think it's a good primer to your next book, The Spiritual Truths. So do
yes.
check it out and see what it's about. But the soul, give me some insight about what is the soul.
It's interesting. Like St. Paul said that we are the body, we are the soul, we are the spirit. But even if I was growing up, I think most of the listeners will agree that we enter the word soul or the spirit. Okay, let's start with something just a quick one, 2 minutes. What happened when mm-hmm. God wanted? When God said, "I want to make man in my image," He made what we call a spark. Each one of us had that spark. That spark is that God likeness in us. That God likeness in us, that spark, that divine spark, is actually the spirit of God, actually within us. Each one of us had that spark. And that spark actually brings down a certain energy into what we call the soul. The soul actually is immortal, so immortal, indestructible. So it's been there for a long time. I know for some people with a Christian background, maybe a little difficult for them to understand, because it's just been the church has not been too vocal or too expressive about lives, certain lives. But by and large, the soul is immortal. The soul is like I would ask Darren, what color car do you drive now?
Silver.
How about the car before that? What color?
It was a plum. It was a plum color.
Okay,
like
so this is what
was it?
This is actually the great teacher, Lord Krishna, said, like a garment. We have a different color clothes we wore yesterday. We have a different clothes we wear today and the previous days. But it's the same us. So what happened, that same us is actually our soul. But we just change our outer appearance. So same thing, we have a different car. We're still the driver of the car. It did not change. So that is immortal. So the nuggets I wanted to talk to the group was that the soul is immortal. So what happened was that the soul being pure but not light, it's pure but not perfect. So what happened was that the soul does not have any color. The soul does not have any religion. The soul does not have any sex. So that's why it's people that could you could understand now that people even of the same sex they could fall in love or they could understand each other because of the concept of the soul. Because there is just a closeness of those two souls, that's why they could understand that. That's why also people could fall in love even of the same sex. I have to change my mindset because I was brought up as a Catholic. I thought a marriage is between a man and a woman, but somehow I realized was that there are some people who are just as in love or more than in love that a man and a woman can have, and they could be the same sex. And what happened was that the soul does not have any color. So different races could actually fall in love with each other. And some of them, we have one person, they've been together for 15 years. They've been working together for 15 years. And after 15 years, he said, I didn't know you're white. I thought because the guy was of a brown in color, an Asian guy. And what happened is that I didn't know you were white. I thought all along you were white. So what happened was that when people, once they look at, identify with the soul, they won't look at the color of the skin. They won't look at the sex, the age. They won't look at the religion. Much higher than that. But I think that I hope that nuggets will probably tickle your fancy, and probably we could talk it more in detail next time.
All right. Yeah, that's one that, as you know, just the way society has developed us, and even myself, notwithstanding, we have to chew on a little bit more to digest that whole aspect of individuals relating at a soul level. That's more on a spiritual level than a physical level, is what you're saying. And I guess the only concern I would have with that is it, but see, that gets off into a whole other thing of what some would consider homophobia and that kind of thing. Are there those who are of same sex that is not at a soul level, that is on a physical level? Or are you saying that every same sex, or and I'm that's why I said we're getting into a homophobic thing, because I'm burrowing that down. I've narrowed and I've eliminated the other things of religion and color and just circled on that one piece of sex. But is that a possibility that two of the same sex could be coming together, or more than a soul level, or is that always an absolute? And I guess there's no absolute, so I guess maybe an answer
depends.
For myself.
Depends on the thing. The homophobic, the thing to do, I think, is upbringing. When it's something, it's not. I'm telling you, I have to change my mindset. So I have a feeling with the changing times, actually, we should be probably even have to evaluate our mindset because our mindset has been imposed on us by our parents, imposed on us by our religion, imposed on us by our society, by our friends, and our education. And somehow it doesn't work all the time. So we have to review that. We have to evaluate that. Society has been changing also. And it's just acceptance. I think it's respect of each one than anything else. But I guess we have to, I have to hold the hands of the people to tell you about the soul. But that's just one aspect I wanted to tell the group, which is apparently an issue of the present times that we are living now.
Well, I'm appreciative of it, and it certainly gave me some insight when you speak of the soul and the immortality of the soul, and it is the spirit of us. I sometimes, you know, I'll close on this, speak in terms of living from a spiritual perspective, and how I believe that will help. I'm often thinking in terms of, and as you know me to a significant degree, Master Glenn, you know, wanting the world to be a better place. You know, that's one of my mantras and driving energies, whether it's chasing a rainbow or not. That's where my mindset is. And so as I think about that, from time to time, as I'm on the program, I speak of let's live more from a spiritual perspective, because there the difference is significantly, if not totally, because I don't know. That's why I said if there's a possibility, they now become reduced or eliminated, because on a spiritual level, we're all the same. So I speak of that concept of just trying to understand a person's spirit. But in that same piece, that same vein, I have to maybe open my mind up, because I think in terms of when you're living on a spiritual level, you may see through a person in terms of where their spirit is. Because I believe all people are not just inherently good. And I won't ask you that question, because then I'll keep you longer, but I'm going to write that down to pick up where we lift off. Are all people inherently good, or are there some people who are not good, or bad people? And is that at a spiritual level? Are there bad spirits, is what I'm getting at. So that's why I say, you know, if we live in from a place of spirituality, and with the idea that I'm prayerful that our listeners are good spirits, then we'll align with like good spirits, and those that are not good spirits will have the discernment and the discretion to veer away from, and even warn others and loved ones to veer away from. So, you know, I certainly say that to say I appreciate your elaboration of the soul, because it gives me a better understanding of that, which is why I really ask the questions, which ties all the way back to the beginning, which was keep your head to the sky. And those lyrics that I refer to, Master told me one day I'd find peace in every way, but in search for the clue, wrong things I was bound to do, keep my head to the sky for the clouds to tell me why. As I grew, with strength, Master kept me as I repent. So that's sort of an awakening in there. I love that song. It's very beautiful, and the words are very beautiful. And speaking of beautiful and appreciation, I thank you, Master Glenn, for the listeners who just joined us. And I see that the numbers are still increasing. People are still joining as they're realizing who was on. I thank you all for tuning in. If you did catch the latter part of the program, you'll want to go to the archives, which are always available at blogtalkradio.com/ Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. That's the network that I'm on. And when you go to that website, you'll see all of my archives for the last several years, including this one, which will be at the top with Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, respectfully referred to because of his acumen. and world-renowned approach to health and wellness. And Master Glenn has been with us for, well, a while this evening. I won't even say, but it's been a significant discourse. And we so much appreciate Master Glenn, one of as few as 10 master pranic healers in the world, who is also an MD. I might also add a humanitarian and astrologer and meditation expert. So, Master Glenn, again, thank you for joining us. Can we pick up when you're able to join us again where we left off? As I said, I made a little footnote here. And then I'd also like to maybe start with the book the next time,
yes,
if we may.
Yes. Thank you very much, Daryl. It's always fun and really enjoying myself in talking to you, because we plan something and something come up, some topics come up, and we just dive into it. And thank you very much for everything.
Thank you. Thank you again so much. And we do appreciate you. And the pranic healing, I've been trained by you and Master Marilake, your wife. I've since, you know, utilized the pranic healing. I'll let the listeners know it's effective, it's worked, and so I thank you so much, Master Glenn, for all you've done and all you're doing, and I believe all you'll continue to do. I'll be listening in on Tuesday for the worldwide meditation. Again, listeners, next Tuesday, that's the 19th, there'll be a full moon guided meditation by the one and only Master Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And to get to that, meditation, you're going to go to Full Moon, that's www.fullmoonmeditation.us. And I believe you won't regret that. You'll truly appreciate having that opportunity to literally meditate with hundreds and hundreds of people around the world. It's a service for the planet Earth, right, Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn?
Yes. It's primarily a service to make the world a better place by putting more good energies.
And that's what we're all about. Well, Master Glenn, I appreciate you again. Looking forward to the next time. And until then, peace and blessings to you and the family and your loved ones. Folks, another edition of Progressive News Weekly has and gone. And I thank all of the listeners. I know I'll get calls and texts and emails afterwards. Don't hesitate. I'd love to know how you feel about Progressive News, what thoughts and ideas that you have for future guests and or topics. I've already gotten a few. I'm looking forward to it. Next month is Earth Month, and, of course, within that is Earth Week. And traditionally, we do some things with that in terms of what's happening with our environment. I'd love to get your ideas and thoughts on things that we can do to enhance our homes, our communities, our towns and cities, our states, our country, and indeed the world. I wish you all well. Welcome to spring, because the next time that we come together, indeed, it will be spring. So tell someone that, as I always like to say, tell someone whom is near and dear to you how you feel. I know it's good to show it. That's important, in fact. But it's good to hear it. It's just good chi, as we just heard what chi is, life energy. It's healing. It literally is healing. So just tell someone that you know how you feel, that you love. And with that said, I love you. Nothing you can do about it. And until next week, peace and blessings. We'll end with a little EWF tune about love.
Pretty. smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Feel yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear, my dear. Let the light shine all through your life. Feel your little heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line. Girl, my dear, girl, my dear heart.
Which I say is a natural fact, because you are